products figure as prominently or as intimately in the American experience as bourbon, whiskey, and with good reason. The iconic Kentucky spirit is the American experience, distilled, aged, and sealed in a bottle. Dane Hucklebridge has written a new book, Bourbon, A History of the American Spirit, and he takes a look at bourbon and a popular history with really a biography of our most well-liked and at times controversial spirit. Again, the title of the book is Bourbon, A History of the American Spirit, and it's a pleasure to welcome Dane Hucklebridge to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Sure, thank you. It's a pleasure.
What brought you to the subject of bourbon?
Well, how it all began, I guess it was almost a couple of years ago. I had an interest in writing a cultural history, something distinctly American, and that would also be fun to read, and, you know, as it was informative. And I was talking to my agent about it, and I had a few ideas which weren't very good. And as it so happened, we were sitting in his backyard sipping on bourbon, which is something we both enjoyed. And that's when it actually came to him first. He said, well, heck, you know, we drink enough bourbon. Why don't you write about that? There's definitely a story there. And I thought about it, and, you know, pioneers, bootleggers, cowboys, it just seemed like it could be a pretty interesting tale. And I started to look into it and do some research, and it became quickly apparent just how uncanny, you know, the parallels were between bourbon's history and American history as a whole. And it was just really jaw-dropping, and I realized that when you look at it closely, bourbon isn't just a byproduct of the American experience. It's not Coca-Cola or Levi's. It really is the American experience, and you can tell America's story through bourbon, and that's what I set out to do.
Yes, an American story. How much of it is a Kentucky story, too?
I think in certain regards, what we think of as bourbon, you know, Kentucky is obviously crucial, and the name Bourbon comes from the Bourbon region in Kentucky, which used today there's just one little county called Bourbon County, but it used to be a much larger region that was known as Bourbon. And it was there that a lot of, you know, this corn whiskey that was aged in charred oak barrels was first being made. But honestly, though, it's a bigger story than that, because distilling once upon a time took place all along the frontier. It was a common way of American, you know, small American independent farmers to make their excess grain profitable. And particularly in Kentucky, where you were separated from the eastern seaboard by these mountains and there was a surplus of grain that was hard to ship anywhere, turning it into whiskey was sort of the smart way to preserve it and make a little profit. But that being said, though, when it was made in Kentucky and in Tennessee, too, this corn whiskey that was being aged in barrels, it would be shipped down the river, you know, westward on the Ohio in many cases, and down the Mississippi, New Orleans. And from there, it really spread all over, all across the country. And as early as 1818, you start hearing, you know, you start reading written records by distillers on the East Coast in cities like Philadelphia and New York, talking about this, they called it Western whiskey back then, because it was west of the mountains, talking about how great this Western corn whiskey was and how sought after it was.
When you started to tell the story, where did you want to begin?
Well, that was interesting, because typically when you read an account of bourbon or an article on bourbon, it starts in Kentucky in the late 1700s. And to me, that seemed a little bit like starting American history in 1776. I mean, yes, that's a crucial moment, but also you don't really understand just how crucial it is unless you take a look at what came before. So that's why I wanted to really do something a little bit different. And I started well before then, going all the way back to the old world techniques that was required. That was the whiskey distillation that came about in, you know, in medieval Europe, and this grain, corn, which is being cultivated, you know, has been cultivated by Native Americans for thousands of years. So I wanted to go all the way back to there, and then from there trace this crucial moment when these two things came together. And you think of America in some ways as a combination of the old world and the new coming together to make something distinct and original on this new frontier. And the same thing's true of bourbon. So to really begin the story, we step back quite a bit further into the past than is typical.
And when you think of, I guess, and you talk about this in the book, it is fascinating, because you really have to even begin with a description of what, a definition of what bourbon is.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a whiskey, and there are lots of whiskeys out there, and you can make whiskey from any grain. So essentially, if you can make bread out of it, you can make whiskey out of it. And whiskey, at its essence, is distilled beer. So, you know, that tradition of making whiskey has been around, you know, hundreds of years. It's particularly popular in Northern Europe, where grapes wouldn't grow as well because of the climate, so all they had to work with was grain. And, you know, but the grains in the old world were different. You had barley and things like that, rye. When settlers came to the New World, initially they, you know, a lot of the early whiskey was made from old world grains like rye, but it became clear relatively soon that on the frontier, corn thrived much better. I mean, corn was a native crop that had been domesticated and cultivated to survive in the American environment. And that's when things started to change. That's when they took these old world techniques for making whiskey, which you can make of any grain, and they had this brand new grain that was thriving to work with. And that was the origins of corn whiskey. And once that corn whiskey picked up some aging, which initially was probably accidental, they were shipping it down the river. It was spending time in these barrels, months, in some case even years. And that's when they realized at the other end that, wow, you know, this whiskey, this corn whiskey, aged in barrels tastes pretty good. Where is it from? Oh, it's from old bourbon region up in Kentucky. And that's how it got its name.
When did it come on the radar of the government?
The government, very early on, you know, the process of taxing spirits goes way back. And one of the first instances of it being problematic was the Whiskey Rebellion. And in that case, they were making whiskey. Probably it was more of a rye whiskey. It oftentimes had corn in it, but rye would have been the prevalent grain. But that, you know, that was in the 1790s. That was an instance early on of people rising up, these small distillers who didn't want to pay the tax on spirits. And it actually required George Washington to, you know, to head back and get back on his horse and quiet things down. So it was a pretty interesting event in American history.
Talk a little bit about that, of these small-scale family distillers who become threatened, and then ultimately there's this copper pot still, then that becomes obsolete, and the new stills are something that the average person can't afford.
Sure. Well, it's interesting in a way, because I often get the question about moonshine. How is bourbon related to moonshine? And I think the funny thing is that they share a common ancestor. And it goes back to the times on the frontier when small farmers were essentially distilling their own whiskey. It was a way, with leftover grain, you know, as I mentioned, to make a little extra money or for bartering on the side from leftover grain. And that's how it began, both. And I think probably in areas, particularly the mountainous areas where geography kept it from being easily shipped to the markets elsewhere, it stayed moonshine, and, you know, it still exists to this day, and there's still that conflict with the government about taxation and regulation and whatnot. But in areas, particularly a little bit west of the mountains, where there was access to the rivers and later railroads to market this bourbon, I mean, it grew, the corn whiskey, it grew quickly. And what had been a small family affair, you know, not even really a business, just kind of a craft, like, you know, like making fruit preserves or smoking meat, just one of those things you did with the extra produce that you had, it started to become a business. And it actually happened earlier than you might think. I mean, there were already fairly large industrial, you know, bourbon distilleries in fairly early in the 1800s. These stills, the innovation of the column stills and later continuous stills goes back to 1820s, 1830s. And that's when you start seeing larger, more industrial whiskey distilleries in the Kentucky area. So it goes back pretty far, the idea of these large commercial distilleries.
There are a lot of stories in the book, and there's a lot of different people and a lot of different manufacturers and producers that you talk about. The Jim Beam story is especially interesting.
Yeah, and one of the things I find fascinating, too, is I talk a lot about the Scots-Irish and how they were the ones predominantly responsible for bringing the technique of whiskey distillation to the frontier. But at the same time, not all of them were of Scots-Irish descent. There was some diversity from the start. And, you know, the patriarch, the original founding father of Jim Beam, was a German immigrant by the name of Johannes Jakob Böhm, which was later Americanized to Jake Beam. And he crossed the mountains along with that first wave of settlers and settled in Kentucky and really started the line. Initially, it was called Old Jake or Old Tub was the name of the very early Jim Beam whiskey. And then later, James Beauregard Beam, who was, you know, a couple generations later, he took over operations and really helped pulled it through Prohibition and come back, you know, after that during the Great Depression. And he became sort of a famous patriarch for that reason. And he, you know, they ended up naming the whiskey after him, Jim Beam.
When you look at the parallels that you wanted to draw between bourbon and the American experience, When you look at it now, where are we, and where do you think it's going?
Well, it's interesting because bourbon, just like America, has had its share of ups and downs, and it's been a bumpy road. And at the moment, there's a bourbon renaissance of sorts, and it's, you know, business is booming, growth is very good. Distilleries are opening up little craft distilleries outside of, you know, well outside of Kentucky in places that haven't seen distilling in 100 years. So business is doing well, but not that long ago, bourbon had sort of lost its way. It wasn't thriving, and, you know, even, you know, in the 70s and 80s, sales were really plummeting, and there were people who were nervous about all that. And today it's doing well, and it's thriving. There's renewed interest in it. And there's no right or wrong answer, but one way of looking at it I bring up in the book is I think in this modern age that's very global and mass-produced and whatnot, there's definitely a longing, almost a nostalgia, I think, in America to recapture some of this heritage, to have a, you know, a stronger sense of place, a more, you know, artisanal craftsmanship, a sense of identity and belonging. And I think that's reflected in bourbon's current popularity. It's this sort of, in this world that's where everything's interconnected and mass produced, it's this longing for something simpler and more definite and more real or authentic, as it were. And in the American history, our American experience, bourbon is seen as about as real as it gets.
It's a fascinating story. The name of the book is Bourbon, The History of the American Spirit. Dane Hucklebridge is the author. The book is now out from William Morrow. Dane, thank you very much for spending time with us. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Bourbon, A History of the American Spirit. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.